Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray producing and engineering the show on the other side of the glass. Together, Ray and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, September 13th. We got hammered up at the house yesterday with a lot of rain for a brief period of time, but kind of signals, you get the feeling it's signaling the end of the summer thunderstorm season for 2016. Today we resume our interview series presented by Pima Community College, spotlighting the talented and dedicated educators who call Pima's six community campuses home. Today we're going to talk with Lee Lambert, Chancellor for Pima Community College, which is one of the 10 largest community colleges in the United States. It's accredited by the Higher Learning Commission of the North Central Association. Pima's been on probation with HLC, however, but in February the 26th, 2015, this probation was rescinded. Although the probation was retracted, Pima continues to remain on what is called on notice for deficiencies. Chancellor Lambert, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well, and that's where I want to begin with. First of all, what is this on notice, and what is now the timetable to getting that dropped?
So essentially what notice means is the college is in compliance with the requirements of accreditation, but the college is still at risk for noncompliance because of, you know, some things that may still need to be focused on related to the criteria for accreditation and the core components. So it's good news. It's a little further step away from probation and show cause, but it still means we're at risk.
And now with the timetable, and this has been quite a lengthy process, where are we, Chancellor, on this timetable?
So at present, we've already submitted the notice report addressing the 11 items of concern that was pointed out to us from last year. And so what's going to happen next is a team will come out and visit the college, and it's considered a focus visit, meaning they're going to be looking specifically at those 11 items to see if we have evidence that supports our claims that we've addressed all 11 items. So in other words, they're going to be validating the contents of that notice report and also looking at the effectiveness and the long-term viability of the changes we have put in place.
What are some of those items? And I know a lot of people at the college have worked long hours to correct these items. Give our listeners kind of an overview of them, please.
So I'll just touch on a few. One is having to do with the mission and being clear about how do we know that we're fulfilling the mission of Pima Community College. So we put in place a mission fulfillment framework, reclarified our mission statement, our vision and values, and then built in a metric measurement system so that, which we may refer to as key performance indicators, so that we can chart the progress in addressing fulfillment of our mission. So that was one of the key areas. Another important area that was not part of the probation, but I should point this out for the listeners, is that they said we're concerned that the college cannot adequately tell the public that how its students are performing. So in other words, are your students learning? And so it may be referred to as student learning outcomes, and how do you go about assessing that? And that was another area of concern that was not pointed out during the probation piece, but came as a result of the visit coming out of probation. And then there's some other areas. They want to make sure we're addressing completion, persistence, retention, and from the standpoint, are we addressing the enrollment and the individuals who are currently with the college. So not only attracting new students, but how are we doing with new students or current students as they move through the educational experience.
How would you assess how it has gone so far?
I would say that we have made tremendous strides at Pima to address not only the 11 areas, but to really position us for an uncertain future that's facing not only Pima, but facing all of higher education.
All of higher education. I think you nailed it there, because it's a very difficult time, isn't it, for higher education?
Well, absolutely. When you think about it from a macro perspective, America's competitiveness is on the line. And why is it on the line? Because internationally, we are no longer ranked as the leader in educational attainment across the globe. We are now ranked in the most latest survey of the 65 countries across the country that participate in those rankings, 12th for 25 to 34-year-old adults. That's not an enviable place to be if you're going to continue to be the world's leader, and your education system is so key to closing that gap.
Tucson has had some good wins here. We've had the Caterpillar announcement. Things are improving with air service at the airport. All of that's got to help this economic situation with Pima in the big picture, doesn't it, Chancellor?
I think any time a community can attract world-class employers and then provide the opportunities for its citizens to then go and obtain employment with those employers, that's a win not only for those employers but for the community at large. And that's where Pima comes in. We provide some key training pieces for many of these employers, and it's our duty and responsibility to this community to make sure that our programs align to the needs of not only those new employers but the existing employers in the community, so that we can make sure folks are employable and family wage jobs, but more importantly, building a strong, healthy community.
Pima got some very good news, Chancellor. As you know, last week, financial aid being restored to students in Pima Community Colleges, highly touted and acclaimed aviation program. That's good news.
So, that was great news. But let me kind of tell you what happened behind the scenes, because I think it's important for the listeners. The mayor's office, the American Association of Community Colleges, Representative Grijalva's office, all partnered with us to bring this to a positive resolution as of last Thursday and Friday. And so it's really a team effort through partnerships with a lot of folks. And then the Department of Ed, I have to give my hats off to the Department of Ed for responding quickly in support of students.
And the students, I'm sure, are very happy with this. And this aviation program is certainly one of the crown jewels. What is your assessment as we begin another school year? How is Pima doing? You know, we've talked a little bit about the probation, but overall, how does it look for this school year?
So let me step back a moment and pivot off the earlier question, because I want the listeners to know. I'm about doing things the right way here at Pima Community College. And what that means is we're going to be combing through all of the programs, the practices, the processes, systems, to make sure we're doing them right. And what I mean by that, making sure they meet the requirements, not only of accreditation, but of the Department of Ed, of federal and state laws. And when we discover that we're not doing things the right way, we're going to self-report those things, and in self-reporting them, we're going to clean it up and make it right. And aviation is an example of that. And my team, my hats are off to my team, because it's not easy to take this self look at yourself and say, you know, we can do better. And that's what we're doing now. And it's going to be a bumpy road, because there's a number of things we got to, but it's not to ding folks. It's about making sure that we're delivering a high-quality education for our students. So as we look about going into this year, there's going to be more of that emphasis on accountability, doing things the right way, but also making sure that we are educating the students so that they have great opportunities to transfer to the universities of their choice, to go and seek employment with the world-class employers that are moving into the area, and to the existing employers that are in the area, and that we build strong relationships and continue to strengthen that pipeline from K-12 to Pima through dual enrollment and other partnerships that we have forged and strengthened since I've been here.
And overall, financially, how is the institution?
So as you're fully aware, Bill, that the state of Arizona, because of its challenges financially, and by the way, this was happening all over the country. Unfortunately, Maricopa and Pima had our budget zeroed out at the state level. But the good news is the state, along with all the community college districts, our employer base, and so many other supporters, we worked together to address some of the gaps that were in the expenditure limitation bill, and last year successfully passed Senate Bill 1322. And what that's going to allow us to do is to better drive and manage our resources that we receive locally from the taxpayers in the form of property taxes, so that we can make sure that we have what we need to deliver a high-quality educational experience for our students.
All right, and again, as we wrap this up with Chancellor Lee Lambert, the Higher Learning Commission of the North Central Association, the next red letter date is when? Again, in summary,
it's going to be. I hate to quote it, the exact date, but I believe it's September 26th and 27th.
Okay.
Monday and Tuesday, the Focus visiting team will be here. They're going to go through as I noted earlier, and then after they've completed their visit, then they will issue a report. We'll have a chance to respond to that report, make any adjustments for corrections of fact, and then they will finalize that report. That will probably happen sometime in the November time frame. October, we'll get the draft finalization in November, and then I will lead a team to Chicago, where the Higher Learning Commission is headquartered, to make one final pitch for why Pima should come off of notice. And then in February, late February, early March, we should get the official word. And I'm hopeful, more than hopeful. I think we're in a great position because we've addressed all 11 areas that will come off of the sanction of notice and move into a non-sanctioned status. And then the question is, what elements will be involved in there? And I think in some cases, they'll still want to make sure that Pima is continuing to make the great progress that is occurring as we speak.
All right, Chancellor Lee Lambert, thank you very much. Good luck to
you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Visit pima.edu for more information about Pima Community College. Shelley Fishman is coming up next, and it's Tuesday. That means the market is struggling a little bit. We'll be right back.
Gladiator battles, the 10 plagues, and a misfiring burning bush. See Epic Proportions, a comedy play presented by Arizona Repertory Theater. September 21st through October the 9th. Watch Benny and Phil, two brothers who go from epic film extras to star and director, and fall for the same woman behind the scenes. See tomorrow's stars today at Arizona Repertory Theater at the University of Arizona, the other wildcat sport. Visit theater.arizona.edu to get your tickets to this epic comedy, Epic Proportions, season sponsored by Chapman Automotive.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, new polling is showing the effort to raise the minimum wage here in Arizona is off to a big lead. Also, we talk education with David Safir, education writer for the Tucson Weekly. Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI with live streaming podcasts and our archive at buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman. How are you, Shelley?
Oh, I'm just peachy keen.
On a Tuesday
when the market's down 290 points.
Yeah, well, the market, we had the kind of, looking back to the good old days of summer, all of that nice stability. And now we're back to a little bit of volatility.
Volatility.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it's dysfunctional.
Right, dysfunctional. What's going on? Are we... could you call this almost like a mini correction?
I could. Yeah. After Friday, which was down about 2.5 points, we recovered nicely yesterday and then today down again. And so what could possibly be going on that would cause the market to drop precipitously one day, go up precipitously the next, drop the next? And you know, obviously it's uncertainty. It's the fundamentals are weak. They're there, but people don't have the kind of confidence that those fundamentals will continue to show themselves in the marketplace on a regular basis. So whenever something belches, somebody else says, "Excuse me," and you know, off we go to a volatile day.
And the rate increase is looming.
Well, the Fed has been giving mixed messages, and that's one of the problems. I believe that we're going to have a rate increase next week. But and Goldman Sachs, until yesterday, agreed with me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I agreed with them.
Right.
They don't call and consult. But yesterday, we had some remarks from one of the Fed governors, Lael Brainard, who indicated that she didn't think this was a good time to do it. I'm still thinking that we're going to get a rate increase, certainly by the end of the year, but I think we're going to see it next week. The market should have priced that in already.
That was my next question. And has it been factored in already?
Some people factor it in, but whenever people talk about doing a rate increase, there's still residual volatility out there. The big problem right now is the price of oil. That has not stabilized at around 50. It's been going down. We still don't know what Brexit, the results of the Brexit vote are going to be. We've got a very uncertain election going on right now here in this country, to say the least. And then Janet Yellen made some interesting remarks at the Jackson Hole conference at the end of August that caught my eye, and look.
Because you've been saying fundamentally things are changing.
Yeah,
and this,
I
think what she was saying really dovetails on those feelings.
Well, you know, the Fed has essentially two jobs. One is to keep inflation at a certain rate, and their target rate is 2%. And the other is to keep employment at essentially full employment. Janet was talking about what will happen in the next recession, and that's not pessimism. What we know is that there will be recessions periodically. And she put some charts up that recently got published, and those charts were a little bit alarming if you go through them in some detail, because what it shows is that for as much as 10 years after the onset of the next recession, the Fed is now saying that they can live with an inflation rate that is below the 2% that is their objective. Now, what that indicates is either one, she doesn't think she can do anything about it, and so she's just going to live with it, or number two, circumstances have changed so much, fundamentals have changed so much in the world economy that this is the new reality. She also is showing charts that show that in the first 3 or 4 years after the next recession, unemployment could stay at above full employment levels much longer than you would expect the Fed would tolerate. Now, the only reasons, again, same two reasons, that the Fed would talk about that in a looking forward sense is that, number one, they don't think they can do anything about it, or number two, that this economy is so intricately intertwined with the world economy that almost anything the Fed would try to do would not get them to their objectives in the kind of time frames we've gotten used to over the past 50 or 60 years.
Thus, a fundamental change.
Exactly.
Big time fundamental change. And plus, the European banks can't seem to do what they used to do.
For the same reasons. And in fact, we now see that the European banks are being very hesitant about extending the quantitative easing that they are participating in right now, because it's not having the effect. And of course, what's happening in the European, in the Eurozone in the EU with Brexit, it's not clear that throwing more money at the problem is the way to fix it right now.
As an investor, you've got to be more careful.
Well, as an investor, when you see this kind of volatility, you either have to have nerves of steel or, take your Dramamine every morning or make sure that your investments are balanced in such a way and allocated in such a way that you have some
cushion.
Well, cushion some hedges against the volatility. Now, look, if you're 35 years old, you know, there's no problem. Stay aggressive.
Or if you're under 30 like Ray.
Yeah. 12.
No. No, he's older than that.
I know.
Yeah.
but if you're in your 60s or you're in a position where you may need to be using your investments, mm-hmm. then you've got to protect your portfolio against this kind of volatility. Look, on a day like Friday, and even to a certain extent on a day like today, there's no place to hide.
No.
You know, unless you were in cash, in which case you said, I got into cash last Thursday, and I'm truly brilliant. But I don't know three people like that in the entire galaxy.
The bonds will help you if you've got a position.
Bonds will help stabilize things. But even bonds got hurt pretty badly on Friday, and they're not doing well today. They're in the red. Mm. Yields are up. So if you've kept some cash positions in your overall investment portfolio, you know, Friday close of business wasn't a bad time to invest.
What do you suggest on a cash basis, percentage-wise?
Well, it depends on
age, I know, all the factors.
But I would keep at least 10% in cash.
I thought that might be the figure
so that you can take advantage of these market lulls. Mm-hmm. And then if you have a good percentage of bonds in your portfolio, don't reinvest those dividends right away. Use those dividends to build up your cash so that when you have this kind of downturn, you have the ability to buy on weakness.
End of the year prediction?
Same as it's been all year, Bill. Okay. 4 to 6% on the Dow. And
well, we're still over 18,000.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, we're still
right. We're a little above that number right now. I think that until the election clears us out, we're going to see continued volatility, and then you always get people adjusting for whether or not they think the outcome of the election is good or bad. And,
you know,
50% of the people think it's good, 50%
think it's
bad.
There'll be plenty of those as we wait in November, Shelley Fishman, for the other shoe to drop. And we'll see what happens. Shelley, always a pleasure as usual. We hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Shelley Fishman, you can find out more about Shelley at BuckmasterShow.com.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garber. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over at Green Things. If you have a green thumb, well, if you'd like a green thumb, a good step would be visiting Green Things. They are a oasis here in our community of beautiful things on 13 acres over at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. Check out this Saturday. The seminars continue Saturday and Sunday, free gardening seminars at 10 a.m. both days. GreenThingsAZ.com has all the details of this weekend's events. Let's welcome now Alex Rodriguez, Vice President for Southern Arizona of the Arizona Technology Council. Alex, how are you? Good to see you.
Bill, it's fantastic to see you again.
How are things going with the council?
Very good. The council is actually doing very well in terms of new member attraction and mission impact, as I like to call it. The ability for us to help convene, catalyze, and connect the technology industry sector across the state of Arizona, Bill, and certainly here in Tucson and Southern Arizona.
Is it becoming a bigger player, the technology sector in our economy?
It is. We think that we represent well over a quarter of Arizona's GDP with thousands and thousands of high-tech workers across our membership base, and those companies continue to grow and evolve and lead their industry sectors in many respects with their key innovations and product launches and unique services on a global scale, Bill. It's really fascinating to see some of that.
What was this collaborative agreement I heard about that was signed with the Arizona Optics Industry Association?
Yes, we're really excited to partner and unveil the new partnership with the Arizona Optics Industry Association. They're based here in Tucson, but have a global impact. As your listeners might know, Tucson is actually known as the Optics Valley, and is known around the world as a destination for optics companies, for innovation of optics, photonics, astronomy, and products and services related to that industry sector. Over $3 billion in economic impact annually to the state alone just with optics. And so we went into an agreement to be able to work together to help do more, essentially catalyzing of the industry sector on a statewide level. So we're thrilled about it. We have some very unique and special events coming up that are focused on the optics industry sector.
And of course, we have another legislative session just around the corner. It's election time of year, and I know that you had some pieces of legislation that you and your colleagues at the Arizona Technology Council were trying to push through, some successful, some not. So this year, you've done some endorsements, right, of candidates?
We have, and it's exciting. We just released what we call the Vote Tech Smart 2016 guide. Mm-hmm. And in there, we take positions on a number of candidates running for Arizona State House of Representatives and Arizona State Senate. We are a nonpartisan organization, and that means we've endorsed both Democrats and Republicans and independents, actually. And our job, as I like to say, is that we're really all partisan, because we will work with anybody that's willing to help advance the technology and innovation agenda across the state of Arizona.
What were some of the issues? I know you conducted almost 60 interviews. What were you asking some of these potential candidates? Not potential, but some of these candidates.
Yeah, they're all actual candidates.
Yes.
And very interesting dialogues, as you'd imagine. Our public policy committee asked questions across the board, ranging from tax policy and the angel investment tax credit, the research and development credit program that's had a huge impact on Arizona's economy, to issues around education and workforce readiness. Wide-ranging and comprehensive, so that we could take the best informed position on each of the candidates.
What was your biggest disappointment at the legislature? legislature last year? What was kind of a signature piece that you wish had been passed and that I assume you would try to reintroduce?
Well, we're actually going through that process now for the 2017 legislative session that starts in January. Last year, we were happy that, at least for when it comes to Southern Arizona, we were able to help impact legislation that had a material impact here in Tucson. For example, Chancellor Lambert was just on talking about
the importance of the program today,
of his community college reforms, and so we helped a little bit, as much as we could anyway, to make sure that he got the expenditure limitation bill passed and signed by the governor. We also helped support the optics industry sector with particular legislation to protect the so-called dark skies in Arizona. We have 12 amazing labs for research and astronomy on, you know, ranging from Kitt Peak to up to NAU and across the state. Those are strategic and have a critical role in the research and development of outer space. Those are threatened when it comes to what they call in the sector light pollution.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a bill around that we helped support, make sure that there's a process going forward. And the one thing that did not happen, Bill, as you asked, mm-hmm. is deals with the continuing challenge with access to risk capital, particularly for early stage companies and individuals that come up with a new idea, a new innovation, and want to launch a company. You know, we live in Arizona, not Silicon Valley. The money is a different picture here. So we had, as one of our legislative priorities, was the Angel Investment Tax Credit. Now, it's a program that's still on the books. It's authorized. It's just not funded. And we had hoped to get it funded last year, but that did not happen.
Are you hope to reintroduce that?
My guess is we will go in that direction. Mm-hmm. We have the committee currently working on a number of positions that we will take starting in January. So we will be releasing the 2017 public policy guide shortly.
And by the way, if people want to see the endorsements, where do they go to get them?
Yes, they're publicly accessible now.
Okay.
And we mailed them also to all our members across the state at aztechcouncil.org. At aztechcouncil.org, and you look for 2016 Vote TechSmart Guide.
And you can see there how the candidates feel, if they're tech-friendly, so to speak. All right, you've got a big event coming up at the Tucson Convention
Center. We do, and we're thrilled about it. You know, earlier, one of your guests was talking about economic uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to take action and do what we can in this region. So we're putting on our fourth annual Southern Arizona Tech and Business Expo, where technology and business connect. And this year, Bill, we're having it at the Tucson Convention Center. We hope to blow the lid off the roof down there at the TCC with a lot of people showing up to listen to companies that will provide their what we're calling technology innovator roadmaps, really cool companies like Worldview Enterprises, who you've had
mm-hmm.
on your show.
Oh, yeah.
Vector Space Systems, the Global Advantage Program at U of A Tech Parks, and Sustaining Edge Solutions, among others.
When is that?
It happens on Thursday, October 13th.
Oh, okay.
Thursday, October 13th.
And again, for more information, go to your website?
Yes, also on aztechcouncil.org.
Alex Rodriguez, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
It's fantastic to be with you, Bill.
Thank you very much. Coming up, we've got, of course, our Tucson, our Fox Theater, Fox Tucson Theater Arts program with Margaret Regan from the Tucson Weekly. But first, we want to tell you about Silver City. It's only a 3-hour drive over to wonderful, lovely Silver City, and especially this time of year, great place to check out the Gila National Wilderness. So much to do. And again, as I say, 3-hour drive, great places to stay, the full listing of places to stay, and the many things to do, like exploring the Gila or checking out historic downtown Silver City, please visit southwestnewmexico.org. We'll be right back.
Einstein once said, as the bees go, so do humans. Five-star professional pest control techs have another option rather than killing the bees. We can remove them. This bee removal option is safe, effective, and next time you have a swarm of bees enter your personal space, call us and let us remove these bees. We have professional technicians on call 7 days a week, 886-0045.
And we know what bugs you.
It's time for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's second annual Sweat for Pets Walk, Run, and Roll, October 23rd at the University of Arizona Campus Mall. Bring your well-behaved canine companion and all your friends and show your support for your hometown animal shelter. All proceeds go directly back to saving the lives of the homeless and neglected animals at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. You can win prizes too, including a Fitbit and an Apple Watch. Win a custom t-shirt when you raise $100. Register today and start building your team at sweatforpetstucson.org.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now, with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Oh, I could hide 'neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor's cold and it stings.
Daydream Believer, just one of the big hits that the Monkees' Good Times, the 50th anniversary tour, that's tomorrow at the crown jewel of downtown Fox Tucson Theater, which sponsors our Buckmaster Show Arts Report. That's going to be a fun show. You got Mickey Dolenz, a couple original band members like Mickey and Peter Tork performing all the big hits. Then Saturday, September 24th, a Tucson favorite, Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Alexander returning to the Fox. She's a five-time Grammy winner, singer, songwriter, and Nashville Hall of Fame inductee. And then coming up Friday, September 30th, reserve your Fox Theater tickets today to see Big Head Todd and the Monsters join forces with two second-generation blues stars, Mud Morganfield and Billy Branch. That's a must-see concert, Big Head Blues Club, presenting the songs of Willie Dixon. So what a full agenda. To view that full Fox Theater schedule, to purchase tickets to see the Monkees, Good Times 50th Anniversary Tour tomorrow, Mary Chapin Carpenter, September 25th, Big Head Blues Club, presenting the songs of Willie Dixon on September 30th. Visit foxtucson.com. Let's go now to Margaret Regan, who has been since 1990. Margaret has been writing about arts for the Tucson Weekly. She is the author of two critically acclaimed books on immigration, The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona Borderlands, and Detained and Deported, her latest book, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Are you a Monkees fan? I'm doing well, thank you.
I am.
I know. I like a lot of the old Monkees stuff.
I'm just the exact right age, I have
yeah,
to say.
Perfect demographic.
I loved them when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Before we get right into the arts, I mentioned the two books. You've got a full day, especially evening, over Back to Bisbee on Saturday.
Yeah, going back to Bisbee, Bill. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Saturday night I will be at the Central School Project, which is a great old building in Bisbee that was a public school, long since converted into an arts venue with a lot of artist studios, and they do a lot of programming. So I'm going to be there in the evening reading stories from both of my books, and I'll be accompanied by Pablo Peregrina, who's a singer-songwriter from Tucson who's written a lot of songs about the border. And very touching to me is he's written two songs based on my books. One is called Jocelyn. It tells the story of her death in our Arizona desert, a true story. And the other one is about people put into detention centers and then deported. So, you know, kind of tough subject material, but he's a great musician, and this should be a great time down at Disney.
That's nice. The reading and music to go with it. That's a nice event coming up Saturday at Bisbee, the Central School Project, 43 Howell Street downtown. Coming up Thursday in the current, which will be the current issue of the Weekly, you've got a piece about... that's that painting, the beautiful painting show going on at the Temple Gallery, correct?
Yeah, I just love this show, Bill, I have to say. It's two painters, Tim Mossman and Hank Tusinski, a longtime Tucsonans. Tim has worked for many years at the Center for Creative Photography, but he's always been a painter and has shown a lot of his works around town for a long time. And Hank just last year had this great Day of the Dead installation at the Tucson Museum of Art. But they're both painters, and they're really, really different painters, and so they combine their works into one show, which makes it really exciting. Tim is an abstract expressionist artist who does the most beautiful things with shape and color. Each painting is like a vibrating movement, you know. He has this one group of nine small paintings made on notebook paper, things torn out of a notebook paper. They even have the holes for the binder. And then just makes these most beautiful little compositions, red, blue, white. I just love them. And by contrast, Hank spent like a month or something in the south of France in April and came back with all these Impressionist paintings that might remind you of some of the beautiful Impressionist paintings of late 19th century France, you know, mountains, vineyards, old farmhouses. So it's quite interesting to see them, but these two painters both believe in a way that all art is abstract, right? Even if you're doing images of the world that you see, say the vineyard in the south of France, you're still translating it into shape and form and color.
That is the Temple Gallery downtown, and that show is up currently, correct?
Yeah, it's up now, and I believe it's going to be up there through the fall. So you have many chances to see it when you go down. That gallery is open in the day, and it's also open in the evenings whenever there's a play in the temple, so that's nice.
You also write in the current issue about the what's coming up at the Burger Theater, which has kind of been a home to Celtic concerts, hasn't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, Don Guest is a very indefatigable Irish and Scottish music promoter here in Tucson, and he does a great job bringing in these people, and I so enjoy interviewing these bands, because, as you know, you're my Irish cousin, right?
Oh, yes.
My mother's name was Regan, right?
Regan. My mom's name was Regan, so
yeah.
I'm half Irish for sure.
Yep, and I'm all Irish.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I love interviewing these people that are coming in. So this one band, Tannehill Weavers, they're from Scotland, and I had the really fun interview with the guy on the phone yesterday. He's from Glasgow, and have you ever heard a Glaswegian accent?
I've been to Glasgow. Yes, I have.
Oh my goodness!
I needed an interpreter when I was in Glasgow to understand.
I know this guy was nice. He says, you know, I modify it for American audiences. But anyway, they are like the leading Scottish traditional band.
Oh yeah, they're big time.
Yeah, and they've been together for, he's telling me,
forever.
Their big 50th anniversary is coming up in a couple of years. So there's two of the founders playing, and a young guy, including, he says, a whiz on the Scottish bagpipes, so it should be so fun. And then also the Outside Track, who's a band of mostly women and mostly Irish, and they've been here a couple of times. So half the evening, an hour of Irish music and an hour of Scottish music, so I can't wait for that.
Tannehill Weavers, they've been around forever. I didn't realize it was 50 years, but they're really, really the iconic band in that genre for sure.
Yeah, I'm so curious to hear, you know, how exactly Scottish music differs from Irish. So, you know, a lot of the same roots going in there, but different influences.
The current issue of the weekly, we're out at Tohono O'Toole Park at the gallery out there.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a great place to go because you pay your admission for the gallery and you can also wander over 49 desert garden acres. It's beautiful up there, especially now that it's getting a little cooler. But the show up there, James Schaub is a new curator in the last year. He's been doing some really exciting shows. You know, he tends more towards contemporary art. So this show is about artists making stuff out of junk, mostly.
Hmm.
Not entirely. There's this wonderful painter from Tucson called Jeffrey Johnsick, and he also does very abstract stuff, really sort of jazzy colors and geometries. But his deal is he basically paints on trash. He gets big pieces of cardboard. He scavenges plywood back in the alley from the trash.
Dumpster diving comes.
Kind of, yeah. So he does these beautiful paintings on this stuff. And then I just have a list for you of the other materials that people use. Chris Tans used laundry lint to make these very beautiful little soft, they look like paintings or almost paper, but it's laundry lint, and she must have done her laundry so that she got one color at a time. Gorgeous stuff. Royce Davenport, formerly of The Weekly, used a zippered purse as a portrait for a portrait of a wrestler. Sharon Holmbach used discarded green glass bottles to make these big trees. So somebody else used spray paint cans, which apparently you can find anywhere under a bridge in Tucson that graffiti artists use. And turns them into these beautiful metallic structures. So that's a very fun show.
All right. That's at Tohono O'Toole Park. And mm-hmm. Margaret Regan, we'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. And, of course, Saturday night, the event gets underway at Central School Project. You'll be reading from your two books, and there'll be the performance, the songs about the border, all of that at 7:30 Central School Project, 43 Howell Street downtown. Margaret, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Margaret Regan of the Tucson Weekly. Hey, we've got the Monkees coming. The Monkees, good times. 50th, speaking of 50 years, 50th anniversary tour. And that's going to be fun tomorrow at the Crown Jewel of downtown, the Fox Tucson Theater. And we also have Mary Chapin Carpenter coming on September the 24th. And I love this name. Big Head Blues Club presents the songs of Willie Dixon. That will be on September the 30th. So there's a lot going on at the Fox Theater. We encourage you to visit foxtucson.com, or you can just go, you don't have to put in Fox Tucson, even Google it, it's going to pop up there really quickly. So they've got a great lineup coming up at the Fox starting tomorrow with the Monkees. And, of course, they'll be doing all the big hits, Daydream Believer, Last Train to Clarksville, a little bit of me, a little bit of you, Pleasant Valley Sunday, on and on it goes. So it's going to be a fun show. Speaking of fun shows coming up this afternoon, Michael Hicks of the Tucson Unified School District Board will be the guest with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen this afternoon on 4 Tucson at 4. Then tomorrow morning, we do 3 hours of local talk with Wake Up Tucson, hosted by Christy Simone. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. We've got our midweek edition. We're going to talk about that minimum wage proposition. One of the two big props on the ballot, that and the marijuana, are the kind of the two marquee issues when it comes to propositions on the Arizona ballot. On behalf of my producer, engineer Ray Allen, who did another fine job today, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.